So we left off in the previous year. We were discussing what exactly are the standards for what constitutes ksiv on Shabbos, in light of the fact that there are very special standards of what constitutes ksiv in Hilchos Sefer Torah. So one of the issues that we touched upon was, what if you write a letter on Shabbos in such a way that it's legible, it's readable, but it doesn't meet all the halachic nuances of a letter? So the example that the Mishnah were discussing was, if you write a letter without tagin, without the crowns, so you write a Zion and a Shin and a Tes, those kinds of letters which normally would require tagin, and you wrote them without tagin. So in a Sefer Torah, we're assuming would be a problem. What about on Shabbos? Would that constitute kosev on Shabbos? Maybe we should say it's not an oath for the purpose of Sefer Torah. It's not an oath for the purpose of Shabbos either. So much of the discussion revolved around the Gemara. We'll go back for a moment to the ninth in the Gemara Makomos, where towards the end of the second law, I think Mark quoted a brayse, "Tan niskaf lechtov aus achas ve'olam yad shtayim chayev." If a person was planning on writing one letter and then somehow the one letter turned into two letters, so he's going to be chayev. Atanan potter. Another mishnah says he's potter. Lokasha the boy's unit, the boy's unit. So basically, the Gemara says depends. Was it a letter that required zayins, that required tagged or not? So the simple reading of the Gemara is that if I was writing a ches, I could very easily turn a ches into two zayins. I just didn't connect the two. But the problem is that the two zayins of the ches don't have tagged on them. So since a Zayin, by definition, requires a tag, the absence of the tag doesn't qualify as a letter, both in terms of Hilchos Sefer Torah, as well as in terms of Hilchos Shabbos. So the simple reading of the Gemara is, where Rabbeinu Simcha quote, and other Rishonim quote, is that just as a letter requires absolutely tagin for the purposes of Sefer Torah, so too a letter requires tagin for the purposes of Shabbos. So that would, of course, connect the two, going back to what we spoke about earlier on, about if you write on Shabbos in other languages, in other ksav, other scripts. So we saw many Rishonim who said that you would be potter, and one of the reasons is, I mean, the reason is because the dinner of kosev for Shabbos are patterned after the dinner of kosev for Sefer Torah. It's all one objective standard of kosev in halacha. So again, according to the simple reading of this Gemara, the Rabbi Simcha took it, is that if a person writes a letter on Shabbos that would have otherwise required tagid, and the Sefer Torah would have required the crowns, and you left out the crowns, so then you're going to be totally potter. That doesn't qualify as kosev for Shabbos. However, other Rishonim had an entirely different reading of that Gemara. We take a look at the back page of the Maamar Kamos. So the Mordechai, in Masechet Gittin, quotes from the Rishonim a discussion about Kosev in another area of Halacha. So far, we've been limiting our discussion to Kosev of Shabbos and to Kosev and Sefer Torah. The Mordechai extended out to Kosev of a Get, the Chosev La Sefer Krisos. So there's also a din of Kosev. Are the standards the same for that as well? So the Mordechai, the 11th of the Maamar Kamos, quotes from Ribar Avraham and Medaktek. The Riva was a medayek that since if you write a letter on Shabbos without zion, without the tagim, you're going to be potter, like the Gemara we just quoted, you see from here that it's not called an os without tagim. That is a halacha that's not only true for Sefer Torah, not only true for Tefillin Mezuzos, but true for Shabbos as well. If it's true for all areas of halacha, therefore it should be true for gittin also. So if you write a get, and you write the get with letters that don't have the proper tagin, so the Rivo says, this is the next logical conclusion, that the halachas of tagin, those special halachas of how to form letters, the precise picture of what a letter looks like, is not only true for Sefer Torah, it's true for Shabbos, as it says in the Gemara that we just saw before. If it's true for Shabbos, then we can extrapolate from Shabbos to Gittin as well. And the Rivo quotes, not surprising, the Gemara in Perek Abona, the whole Gemara we just quoted already several times. And the Mordechai says this is not just the Rivo's idea, but Rabbeinu Baruch has the same thing. When a sofer writes a get, he has to be careful to write a perfect script with the proper target in place. Call os for os mizuyuna. Each and every letter has to be with the proper target. V'shalola chas or filakutza shal os achas, and not to leave out even the smallest part of any given letter. We spoke a little bit about that earlier in the week about the kutza shal yud. And the reason for all this is ki'ilu ha'yakosef tefillin mezuzah. The same way that when you write a sefer Torah tefillin mezuzah, you have to You have to be so careful about that to make sure that every single letter is formed properly with the proper kutzah shel yud and the proper tagin, etc. The same exact thing is true for Shabbos and the same exact thing is true for Gittin. However, much of this was this discussion was based on that Gemara back in Shabbos. Had the boys yune, had the low boys yune. Does he have a letter that has to have tagin on it or a letter without tagin on it? But there's a different pshat in that Gemara entirely. Well, the sefer truma kasav. Comes the Sefer Truma and says, wait a second, we've been building everything based on that Gemara Masechet Shabbos, had the boys yune, had the low boys yune. So we translated the boys yune means a letter that needs tagin. So if you translate the word the boy means a letter that needs tagin, so then the Gemara is saying, any letter that objectively requires tagin, if tagin weren't made, it's not chayav on Shabbos. That's how we learned on Tuesday. That's how we're learning today. The word boy means that it needs tagin. Any letter that requires, that needs tagin, must have tagin for Shabbos as well. However, the word boy in Aramaic has a dual meaning. The word boy also means, can equally valid mean, not that something needs, but something somebody wants. The boy, I want to do something, that's also, you would also use the word boy, to want. Says the Sefer Truma, that's what the Gemara means there also. V'achi perusho, had the boy has sofer l'ziyune. When the Gemara says that, if you didn't write tagin, see a potter, that means if you wanted to write tagin, if you were planning on writing tagin, you're a sofer, you're trying to write a nice l'chadchila Sefer Torah, so you chose, you wanted to write tagin, and for whatever reason, you never got around to writing those tagin, then you're going to be patur in Shabbos. You know why? Not because an os objectively requires tagin, but because you personally, subjectively, desire tagin. Now we know in Hilchos Shabbos, the magic words are malachas machshavas. The malach has to be what you wanted it to be, what you planned it to be. So if you personally were planning on writing tagin, and you never got around to it, then you're going to be patur in Shabbos. But if you weren't planning on writing tagin, I'm writing a letter, I'm writing some notes, Gemara notes. So I'm writing Sefer Shuri. I'm not interested in writing tagin. If you're personally not interested in writing tagin, you're going to be chayav on Shabbos without the tagin. So comes the Sefer Truma, now turns everything on its head. This is against everything we've been saying up till now. From Tuesday, for the second half of Shira on Tuesday, to the first half of Shira today, we've been assuming that the Gemara says in Shabbos explicitly, a letter without a tag is not a letter, and you're potter on Shabbos. Comes the Sefer and Truman says, it's not true. The Gemara never said it. A letter without a tag is a letter, and you would be chayav, but if you personally wanted to write tagin, then you're going to be potter until you get around to writing those tagin. So now we have to go back, really, and there are really two different aspects of the sugi that we have to focus on. So, of course, we're learning Masechet Shabbos, so we're focusing on the kosei part as it plays out in terms of Shabbos. So, once again, we're seeing a major machlekes in the Rishonim as to are the standards for ksiva that appear in Hilchos Sefer Torah identical for Shabbos, or are there differences between them? So, last week we focused on the machlekes between those who shown them who argued that the standards are so similar that the only kinds of scripts, the only kind of languages you could be chayav on Shabbos is Hebrew and Greek. That was like one extreme of the Rishonim who said that Shabbos equals Sefer Torah. Fit, end of discussion. And we saw most of the Rishonim disagreed with that. Now we're having a second question, namely, if I'm writing Sefer Shuri, but I'm writing Sefer Shuri that falls short in terms of Sefer Torah, will I be chayav on Shabbos for that as well? So at first glance, that's the exact same shot. First glance, it's the identical question. Namely, what constitutes kosev on Shabbos? Is kosev on Shabbos defined by Hilchos Sefer Torah, and therefore only Hebrew, only Greek, only Italian, only Kutshayuds, all of Hilchos Sefer Torah? So there's only one standard of kosev in Halacha, the Sefer Torah standard. But we're saying, ma pitom, kosev on Shabbos luchud, kosev on Shabbos works with its own rules, kosev on Shabbos depends on, can you read it? Take a look at it. It looks like a letter, then you chayav on Shabbos, whereas Sefer Torah to Mezuzah has special objective halachas, tagin, kutashayuz, etc. So that seems to be the same shah. It seems to be one question. It's affecting the language that I'm writing in, the script that I'm using. It's also affecting the forming of the letters, even within Ksav HaShuri. The Magen Avraham suggests that the two shadows are not necessarily identical. One could possibly split between the two based on the following. Says the Magen Avraham, if a person writes in other languages, in other ksavim, one could potentially be chayev. Like most of the Rishonim, one could potentially be chayev. But if one writes ksav ashuri, and you're missing a tag, you're missing a zayin, you're missing this, maybe you're going to be potter. What's the difference between the two? If you insist on the comparison of the Sefer Torah, you should be potter on both. If you ignore the comparison of the Sefer Torah, Shabbos works on its own rules, then you should be chayev on both. How can you split between the two? So says the Magen Avraham, the answer is as follows, that in Hilchos Shabbos, you have to write a letter. You have to write whatever is considered to be a halachic letter. So it's considered to be a chayev and Shabbos. What constitutes a halachic letter? It depends on the script. So if you're in English, who defines whether English is English? So you got to go back to first grade, to the penmanship books. If the Olam says this is an A in English, so that's an A. The Olam says this is a B, it's a B. This is a C, this is a C, this is a D, it's a D. That's it. There was no halacha to see that when you write A's and B's and C's, you have to have target on them. Whoever was, I don't know who was covering what English looks like when the letters of the ABC were developed. So if it looks like an A, it looks like a B, it looks like a C, finished, that's considered to be a nose. But Ksav Ashuri doesn't work that way. Ksav Ashuri, except for Torah script, there are halachas to it. There are dinim. There are sugars in the Gemara. There are halachas in the Sinai. There are dinim. And Aleph does an Aleph, and there's a Beis, and there's a Gimel. So if it meets the criteria of Aleph, Beis, Gimel, then it's a nose. If it doesn't, then it's just a scribble. Then it's nothing. So it could be that the comparison from Sefer Torah to Kosev B'Shabbos may not be 100%. If you're dealing with Ksav Ashuri, then the comparison is exact. And once you add the realm of Ksav Ashuri, then the halacha is not determining anymore what's called the letter. Then the English language determines what something is called a letter. So the two shadows are not necessarily tali zebezeh. So what do we have? We really have three different possibilities in terms of what defines writing on Shabbos. What models, what guidelines, what parameters do we use to determine whether a person wrote the letter on Shabbos? So you have one extreme of Rishonim was saying, open up a Sefer Torah. If it's identical to a Sefer Torah, then and only then you chayev. Identical to a Sefer Torah means it has to be Hebrew script, maybe Greek. It has to have Tagin. It has to have Kutzah Shel Yuds. It has to pass the test of Hilchos Sefer Torah in order to be chayev on Shabbos. And other Rishonim said, Lo Hoyu Dvar Mi'am. Never heard of such a thing. Hilchos Shabbos L'chod, Hilchos Sefer Torah L'chod. For Shabbos, if it looks like a letter, it reads like a letter, you chayev. And therefore, you're going to be chayev for ABC. And therefore, you're going to be chayev without tagging. You're going to be chayev without kutz shel yud. If you can read it, you're going to be chayev. And then you have a middle ground. I'm going to promise suggesting that it depends. If it's other languages, other scripts, then you're chayev. If it's Lashon HaKodesh, then you have to be careful. Then you have to be more exact. Because Lashon HaKodesh has certain objective standards as to what concepts, what's considered to be a ksav in ksav Ashuris.
According to the Rishonim that hold that it only could be Sav Shel Sefer Torah, Sav Shiri, how did they deal with the fact that basic Migdash used to make marks on the Mishkan, and that was an indication of where they put all the pieces?
So there was actually a Machlekes HaTanoim, what exactly kinds of marks did they make? Did they make letter marks? Did they just make scratches? So one time, we saw this last week, when Yossi held that you don't need any letters to be chayev in Shabbos. You make any marks, you're chayev, because that's what they did in the Mishkan. And the other Tanoim seemed to say, no, they mamash wrote osios. They wrote Aleph Beis Gimel. They wrote real osios when they had to identify the boys in the Mishkan. This discussion that the Rishonim are having, which is focusing primarily around the sugya about Tagin, now ends up having a major impact on Sefer Torah itself as well, on Tefillin, on Mezuzahs as well. According to one group of Rishonim who was saying that Tagin are absolutely non-negotiable, they're non-negotiable for Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, they're non-negotiable for Shabbos, even the Rivas said they're not negotiable for Gittin. Any time you write a letter without tagging, it's a spilled ink. It's nothing. It's meaningless in halacha unless it has the proper tagging. If that's true, then that's a tremendous chumrah in Hilchos Sefer Torah Tefillin Mezuzahs, because that would translate to mean that lemaisa the Sefer Torah would be posel, the Tefillin Mezuzahs would be posel. If you have a letter which is supposed to have tagging that doesn't have it, it's going to be posel. So there are other Rishonim who say lohayu dvar miyam. Other Rishonim who say, where does it say in the Gemara that Tagin disqualifies a letter? If you go back to to the original source for Tagin, back to the 8th of the Mamre Kamos. Amar Rava, Shiva Oisias Tzrichos Loshes, Yunin Ve'elen Shatnes Gets. The Loshen Tzrichos, very powerful Loshen, the Mamre Kamos number 8. The following letters require, need Tagin. There are different tags, different degrees of what's called needing. Sometimes something needs something l'chadchila, sometimes something needs something b'di'evet. From Rava's words itself, you can't tell. So from the Rishonim, we're learning that a letter without a tag is possible, and a letter without a tag is nishkin get, and a letter without a tag is not chayav in Shabbos. So it's obvious that tag and a ma'akev in the Sefer Torah. But there are many, many other Rishonim who say the whole thing is not true. The whole thing was, her entire sugi is based on a misunderstanding. When Rava said, Shiva osias tzrichos, tagin, that's the nice way of writing. That's the mehudah way of writing. But if for whatever reason you left out the tagim, if it looks like a shin, looks like an eye, looks like a tes, it's good anyway. It's good b'di'evit anyway. If that's the case, then even if the Torah itself doesn't require tagim, then it's hard for me to believe that writing on Shabbos is going to require tagim. If you hold that tagim, I'm akib b'di'evit, the whole Torah film is a puzzle with the raisa, because it's not a letter, it's like missing part of a letter. So then I understand. Then you can begin to extrapolate to Shabbos. But if you hold that the whole Dibbe Sefer Torah was never so serious, the whole Dibbe Sefer Torah was just a Lechet Chila, then obviously, if it still could pass as a Kosher Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah without Tagin, obviously you're going to be chai for that on Kosher Shabbos. So that's a major machlekes that also emanates from our sugya. That's a machlekes that poskim in Shulchan Aruch and Tzimin Lamed Vav. Those who are learning, anyway, Mishneh Berurah Dershu. Okay, so they're up to Sivan Lamed Vav now. I have a feeling that anyone who was learning Mishneh Berurah Dershu may be coming to an end at this point, because Sivan Lamed Beis and Sivan Lamed Vav were very, very hot simanim. They were. If you made it through this, then you're home free to look as Erevin. But these are tough simanim. So in I happen not to be doing it, but my son is trying to do it. So he's been calling me every night from Yeshiva about some shiles about. You think he's trained to be a cipher. So last night he calls me up, I was in a meeting. He says, I have to discuss with Mishneh Berurah about a certain shal of a letter in the Sefer Torah. He says, okay, Mechab, I've just walked out of a meeting. I didn't have a Mishneh Berurah with me. Can we do it about pay? He says, no, forget it. You're never going to be able to understand what I'm talking about. So he said, okay, fine, put it on hold. So it's a hard simon. So in Sivan Lam involved in our Chaim, there's a machlokes to Shulchan Aruch and others. What's the din of the Sefer Torah? What's the din of the Tefillin? What's the din of the Mezuzahs? If it's written without Tagin, is it kosher or not? Is it kosher with the Evan? So the Shulchan Aruch paskins that the whole din of Tagin is only lechatchila. If you left out the Tagin, the letter is kosher anyway. So the letter is kosher anyway. That takes a lot of umfat of Asugya. We built up some Rishonim who say you must have Tagin on a get, and you must have Tagin to be Chayav and Shabbos. Tagin is the end of the world. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the Sefer Torah itself is kosher without Tagin. Tefillin themselves, Mezuzah itself is kosher without Tagin. Obviously, Tagin are not as critical as we thought up till now. But not everyone agrees to the Shulchan Aruch. The Vilna Gaon quotes, and others disagree. And the Gra writes, he's not sure we should pass like the Shulchan Aruch. He doesn't know what the din is. The Gra loves the Tzarchian. We're not sure what the din is. A Tagin absolutely ma'akev. But if you hold, like those who say the Tagin are ma'akev, then you can discuss how serious they are in Shabbos. If you hold the Tagin are not ma'akev in Sefer Torah also, then there's very little to discuss in terms of Shabbos. So I had a shiloh, not much last week. Somebody asked me the following shiloh. They had their tefillin checked, and the sofer noticed that a couple of the tagim weren't there. Either they weren't written properly to begin with, or they rubbed out over time. Tachas there were no tagim. So shiloh is, can you fix that? Can you just go and take a little pen and fill in the tagim right now? What's the shiloh? There's a din in Hilchas Tefillin and Mezuzahs. The tefillin and mezuzahs have to be written kesidron. They have to be written in the proper order. Let's say a sofer wrote parshas for tefillin, and then he realizes he left out the first vav, vayidaber. So he wants, no big deal, he'll go in and fill in the vav now. So those tefillin are possible in the Torah, because they were written shalak yisidran. Of course, the problem is there's no way of knowing that after the facts. So that's why you have to trust the sofer. The sofer has to be a Yirei Shemayim. Not just a good, nice handwriting, it has to be a Yirei Shemayim. Because otherwise, there's absolutely no test you could do to find out whether the letter was written in shalak yisidran. So, but if you know it was written Shalom Chassidu, then the whole tefillin is a possible in the Torah. So the shadow becomes now, a sofer either left out Tagin to begin with, or the Tagin rubbed out, and now I want to rewrite the Tagin. So the question is, does that pose a problem of Shalom Chassidu? Should I argue that, well, since the Tagin had to be there, and they weren't there, so it's as if the letter was informed, so then that's tantamount to writing a letter now, but it's, the rest of the parsha was already written, that would be Shalom Chassidu, that would be writing the tefillin out of order. So what's the din? So if you hold like the Shulchan Aruch, the Tagadah that Ma'ach gave, you don't even have to fill them in altogether. So Lechet Chivish should fill them in. It's obviously not going to be a problem Shulchan Sidron. If the Tulum Akashim beforehand, so obviously they're not going to become possible because you wrote in the Tagadah now. But if you hold like the Grah, if you hold like other Rishonim, if you hold like the Rabbeinu Baruch, if you hold like the Rebbe, if you hold like the Rishonim in that Sugya, the Tagadah absolutely Ma'akev and the Tefillin Apostle and the Torah the way they are, can I fix them or not? So my knee-jerk reaction would be, no, how can you fix them? If you really hold the Apostle, so how can you fix it? It's Mamash Lekha Sidron. So here, there's a little bit of a kula. The kula is based on the following. It's based on a Maharami Ruthenberg. Maharami Ruthenberg writes that when you have an os, so there are different degrees of just how bad this os is. You can have an os that's Apostle, because it's Mamash Kaman Delesa. It's almost like it doesn't exist. You wrote a shin, and you only wrote half the shin. You left out two of the heads of the shin. So this is Dishkin shin. It's like a blob of ink. There's nothing there. Well, let's say you wrote a letter. You wrote a resh, and it mamish looks like a dalet. You filled in the back of the resh, and the guy reads it. It's mamish. Good example. I remember once someone showed me a pasha of tefillin with the word zachor sayom hazeh. So the surfer didn't do too much. He wrote a beis. Instead of a chaf, you wrote a base. So now you read it. Zavora sayom hazeh. So those tefillin, mamish posel ben atar. What do you do with them? I mean, you can't fix it because that's shalak esidron. You can't wear them the way they are because it's the letter doesn't exist. So the whole tefillin have to be put into Seamus. So it comes about, Ruthenberg and says, if you have a pure tefillin, you have a mezuzah that has a letter that's just so off, so bit, so lacking, so missing, it's command the leisa. There's nothing you can do with those tefillin. You can't fix it. That's called shalak esidron. But every once in a while, you have a letter that technically is possible. The way the letter is right now, you can't use those tefillin. You can't use that mezuzah. It's possible the way it is. But between you and me, you look at the letter, you can see what it is. It has a tzura sa'os. It appears to be the correct letter. It's missing some halachic intricacies of that are necessary for the letter to be kosher. So it says in Amar Ruthenberg, when the type of the psul is the first type, when the letter mamish is so bad it's command leisa, you can't fix it. That's called shalak esidron. When the letter is fundamentally there, it would be read as this letter. Nobody would suspect it's a different letter. Nobody would mistake it for something else. It's just missing a certain nuance of some halachic addition to it that can be added on afterwards. That's not a violation of shalak esidron. Shalak esidron means you can't be kosev the os shalak esidron. Here the os is nichtav already. The os is written already. It just hasn't been finalized. So says Maim Ruthenberg, that would be all right. One of the examples that's given to illustrate this distinction goes back to the Kutzah Shel Yud. Remember we had a Machlokes Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam. What is the famous Kutzah Shel Yud? Is the Kutzah Shel Yud the right leg of the Yud? Or without it, it's just a kind of a blob of ink? Or is the Kutzah Shel Yud that little schmitzik that comes in the bottom, little schmitzik comes on top? So according to Maim Ruthenberg, what if you wrote a Yud, and then you finish writing the whole parsha, and then you realize, yes, it was gevalt, I forgot to write the Kutzah Shel Yud. Can you fill in the Kutzah Shel Yud afterwards? The poskim, it depends. To fill in the right leg of the Yud, that you can't fill in afterwards. It didn't look like a Yud before. It was just a blob of ink. If I open up a pair of tefillin and I see this, that's a Yud. That's a square of ink. It's nothing. For me to go add on this leg afterwards, that's equivalent of writing a Yud. I'm writing the Yud after the other letters were already written. That's a problem. Shalom Kosid, it's possible in a Torah. But what if the Yud was written already? It has the whole box of the Yud, the whole right leg, but I forgot to write here. I forgot to stick in the little top, forgot to stick in the little bottom, things that could potentially disqualify the Yud. So it comes about, Ruthenberg, it says, no big deal. That you can add on afterwards. That's not called Shalom Kosid, because the letter is fundamentally there. So come the poskim and say the same is true for a tagin. According to the Shulchan Aruch, the tagin and ma'akev it is a Torah. Of course, you can add them afterwards. What's the big deal? But even according to the Grah, even according to those who are cheshish, the tagin disqualify according to the Rivan, the Sefer True, all the shittas that we saw today about Shabbos. Those who showed who say that the absence of tagin mamish disqualify the tefillin. They disqualify the tefillin, but it could still be salvaged. It could still be fixed because letters there. If I see a shit without tagin, I'll read it as a shit. I see a nun without tagin, I'll read it as a nun. I know what it looks like. Every little kid knows what it looks like. It's obviously a shin. It's obviously a zayin. But since the halacha superimposes that you have to have more than a zayin, you have to have taget also, and maybe the taget ma'akev, the ma'akev, but it's still called the tzuras ha'os. Since the tzuras ha'os is still present, b'diavad you can still fix it. So that was that's the Mishnah Berurah's psak. That's how we assume the halacha. So I told this fellow he can get his taget fixed. The sefer can go ahead and add the taget afterwards. According to the I made him feel good. I said, don't worry, your tefillin was still kosher. The Shulchan Aruch says it's still kosher. I didn't tell him the gross says that Papa. According to Shulchan Aruch, the tefillin is still kosher. So with the effort all these years, you still been you'd say tefillin, don't worry about it. So we pask in Mikra Din. But the Chachir, they really should be fixed. And you don't have to worry about Shulchan Sidran, because even on Saturday Pasal, which is the question, even if they Pasal, but with the effort you can still fix it because the Tursa Osa is still there. So Kopanim, up until now, so we're still stuck at that original question that we had. We're still not sure what that original equation between Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah on the one hand, and writing in Shabbos on the other hand. This equation has played out in terms of Tagin, it's played out in terms of Shoyud, it's playing out in terms of other languages, other scripts, the fundamental unresolved question. If we take a look at the 12th of the Marmar Kamos, so the Shulchan Aruch in Evan Ezer in Hilchos Gittin in Simen Kuf Chavav writes Kosvin Aget B'chol Ksav U'B'chol Loshon Bein Shuk Ksav Avdikichavim Bein Shuk Ksav Yisrael Gon Provençal V'chayotzebo. It's more like a script, like a Rashi kind of a script or something. Anything is good. You want to write a get, it doesn't have to be Dafkin Savashuris, you don't need a real cipher. As long as it's legible, it's readable, it can be in English also, Mikra Din. Anything is good for Hilchos Gittin. Why is that? So the Beis Shmuel on the 13th of Maamar Kavos writes, Afagav d'chsiba Torah v'chosav. The Torah says v'chosav. Shema mino, we see from here, k'sav akom nami k'savu. That even the Goyisha letters, ABC, is also considered to be k'sav. V'ayim Beis Yosef, v'nafkamina, says the Beis Shmuel. Once we are finally paskin without a question that a get can be written in English, nafkaminalin in Shabbos, navi melocha gemura, this proves beyond a shadow of a doubt, the end of Asugya, writing in Shabbos in English is a melocha d'araisa. V'lo shvus. It's not a dirabbanan. All the kunces and the kulas that we add, it's called the shvus to shvus, and maisalach says the Beishmuel, the whole thing is not true, that kosev on Shabbos is chayiv in all languages, in all scripts, in all ksavim, just as a get in English is kosher, writing in English is chayiv as well. So when all the dust settles, it seems that sheet in Rishonim, it made for a lot of lumdus. We spent 2 weeks on it, but that sheet has not really been accepted. La'alocha. Mikra didn't we paskin that kosev and Shabbos and kosev and get work with its own rules. And Shabbos is chayiv in English, a get is kosher in English. Only in Sefer Torah Mezuzos does it have to be ksav ashuri, and does it have to have kutz ashuyot, does it have to have zayins and tag in the whole mekoy. That's only in Sefer Torah Mezuzos. In all other areas of halacha, the only thing that determines is it called ksav. Does it look like a ksav? It looks like a letter. Anyone can read it. You can read it in English, read it in Hebrew. That's considered to be a ksav. That's what we assume the halacha. So therefore, any kulas of writing in English on the Shabbos, we're going to have to disagree with. In terms of writing a get, even though technically speaking a get written in English would be kosher, nobody writes a get in English today. Nobody would dare writing a get in any other way than the way Gittin had been written for hundreds and thousands of years. So we still write Gittin in a mixture of Hebrew and Aramaic, our Gittin are, and they're only written with Ksavashuri letters, and we're very, very machmir. We make sure the letters are formed properly. Kedas v'chadim, we don't take any chances in terms of the status of the get. But me'ika mikra din, we possibly can write a get in English, because mikra din, kelsi b'shar ksav, is considered to be a ksav. We'll meet Hashem tomorrow, so we'll start the next sugya of Kaiser.
What defines a language? If I create my own personal language with you to
communicate? No, it has to be something that is spoke by people in that location. Let's say if you Lamosh Lepolskim, right, you can say Kriyashma v'chol Lashon. But I can't say Kriyashma in French in America, because French is not a spoken language in America. So it has to be something that is accepted by a group of people in that place, that it's accepted, and you have to understand it. So if I don't understand French, so if I would say Kriyashma in French, even in France, would be a problem. But if I say Kriyashma in English in America, and I know what I'm talking about, so then technically I'd say the mitzvah. Okay, let's stop here.